Well, good morning, Hillcrest. How are we doing today? Y'all ready for a little snow and wind? I know. You get these beautiful days and, you know, like today, I don't even know what it's going to be, but I think there's a 5 in front of it. That's awesome. Yeah, I wouldn't feel that way in August, but today for sure. Boy, you know, as we were kind of finishing that worship set, that last song, you know, Great Are You, Lord, was that like not, has that song been sung better than that moment? That was just amazing. So yeah, you know, Jacob and the worship team, they make this thing look so easy Sunday after Sunday. There is so much that goes into it. Gary, who is singing here, he's building the slides during the week. You know, Jacob's designing the lighting scheme and trying to figure out what all these lights are supposed to do. The teams are practicing during the week. They come together on Thursday and they practice for a couple hours together. They come early on Sunday morning. They practice a little bit more. They just make it look so easy. And if you have any desire, like, you know, got Toby back there. Toby's changing the slides here. Amos is doing sound with one hand. With the other hand, he's changing the lighting schemes and he's timing it with Toby. And I mean, just these guys are professionals in what they do. And if you want to be a part of that team, come talk to myself or Jacob. We would love to have you be a part of it. It's an exciting group to be a part of and really doing something really cool. So if you'd like to do that, let us know. But man, what an amazing worship set this morning. As Pastor Brian was talking with Peter this morning, you know, I'm reminding myself of even some of the stuff that we have been doing with community outreach and how much it has been a part of Hillcrest for so many years. Originally, community outreach started in this community when churches got together to say, we need a place to be able to determine whether our gifts that we give are being used with good stewardship. Because people would go from church to church to church looking for help. And if they found help, that would be great. But there were some people that were abusing that system, going from church to church, getting help from each church with the same story. And so community outreach was that and continues to be that for us. And I think, let's see, community outreach, I can't read it all the way back there. Shane, what's the number there underneath there? $2,513. So $2,513 is how much we had given by, I think that was the end of last year. So, I mean, there has been more that we've continued to give. So, again, your gifts on that third Sunday, a portion of that goes to community outreach because when people come here that we don't know, we have no connection with, we make sure they're connected with community outreach and we make sure that those needs are met through that because they can make sure that we're being the best stewards we can with those funds. So our support of community outreach, their involvement here in the community is so very important for all of us. I'm also really impressed this morning to see Tarina here. You might wonder why. Tarina on, let's see, yesterday morning showed up at my house at 4:10 in the morning and picked up my freshman. Then she went and she chaperoned all day in Iowa. And then she dropped my kid off while I was in the shower this morning, which was 3:30. It's just my Sunday ritual. And she's here. So I'm so impressed. Next week, that show choir for Washington's going to Mitchell, and I'm going. So, 2 weeks. Oh, that's right, next week. Yeah, it's 2 weeks. I don't even know. I'm going to show up whenever it is, and I can be responsible for nothing I say that Sunday morning. Well, we are in a brand new series here in March called Identity Theft, and it's the lies that Satan tells us. And so we're going to talk about some of those things. Now, you've heard the phrase before, right? Liar, liar, pants on fire. You know, I thought of that as I was preparing for this message, and I thought, liar, liar, pants on fire. What a weird thing to say. So I looked up why we say that. Do you know why we say that? I don't either. Nobody knows. Like, there are people that say this is why, and then you look up that reason, and you'll find people say that is not it. It goes back so far. We have lost why we say it. It's just fun to say. And I can remember being a kid being told by my grandmother, on my dad's side, liar, liar, pants on fire. And I actually like thought there was the possibility that my britches, which is what she called them, could light on fire if I lied. I found that not to be true. That would have helped me if they actually would have. But the world is full of lies. And especially as kids, we lie to kids all the time. So kids, this is for you, okay? We're going to dispel a few of the lies that we as adults tell you, okay? We don't like mean to lie. We're looking out for you in some ways, but other things just don't make a lot of sense. Like, here's our first one. You know the rhyme Humpty Dumpty? Okay, say it with me. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. Nowhere in there does it say he's an egg. Nowhere. Some illustrator made him an egg, but he's not. He could have been a teapot. Where? We just did the rhyme. He doesn't crack. His yolk doesn't go gooing everywhere. Tarina's saying it again. Tarina, you haven't had enough sleep to figure this one out. Let it go. Let it go. Okay, how about this one? A blowing into a game cartridge does not make it work. Okay? Okay, this is actually true. It does make it work. Those of you that are from that generation, it definitely does. These things are called pipe cleaners. They don't clean pipes. Do they? No, you can't even find them at the pipe store. You have to go to a craft store. There's no... Look, Mark Letha, he works with pipes. And, like, some really dirty pipes. Now, Mark, got to keep this clean, okay? It's his church. You ever use these? And trust me, if you have a pipe problem, you want Mark and all the skills he's got. He ain't bringing these. Okay, a couple of songs. Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, Baa Baa Black Sheep, and the song ABCs. All the same tune. Yeah, just keep singing them. Mrs. Dibble. Mrs. Dibble, she was my fifth grade teacher. We're getting ready for a math test. Fifth grade math. In fact, still today, my math skills are probably fifth grade. I learned higher math, but you know, then when you don't use it, fifth grade, I think, is the default. Miss Dibble told me when I was doing math, I said, I need to use a calculator for this, for the test. And she says, Dougie, you're not going to have a calculator in your pocket your whole life. Ha, Mrs. Dibble. If I could find her, I'd send her a message. Okay, kids are in the car, okay? Now I get it, you know, some of us drove in station wagons back in the 70s. But today, driving a car, where's the safest place for the kid to be? Back, and then what are they sitting in? Younger kids, car seats. Safest place for our children, right, is in a car seat. That's a school bus. Not even a seatbelt in a school bus. I really don't get that one. All right. How many planets in our solar system? Whatever. We have no idea. How do you lose planets? How do planets become so fluid? They're either in it or they're not in it. I don't know. It's confusing. You know the size of Pluto? Like, compared to you? Like, I don't know. Okay, this one, most frustrating for me, and I get it. I was in the, you know, the era of pens and pencil writing in school, but the blue side of the eraser does not erase ink. They say it does. All it does is put a hole through your paper. And as much as I like Popeye, spinach does not make you stronger. It does not. It does not. Look, Easterby Elementary School, first grade, they serve grilled cheese sandwiches, which was the best grilled cheese sandwich to this day that I have ever had. But it always came with a side of cooked spinach. And after watching Popeye, I knew that if I ate that spinach, I would go out on recess and I would kick some recess butt. And I stomached down a few bites of that spinach. My biceps stayed the same, and I was sick all recess. But no matter what you believe to be true, when a 2-year-old hands you a toy telephone, you answer it. right? You answer it. That's the way we do that. With this series, brand new series this month, and I have told you as series come up, and I know you probably think, well, Pastor Doug, you say this about every single series. You go, oh, how excited you are that we're doing this series. You've been really looking forward to it. Like, it's just got to be some marketing pitch, right? This last series we did in Jonah, that's my favorite series I think I've done in a year around here. This series, I have been not looking forward to it. I have trepidation with this series because this series is addressing core issues deep within me that I have. Issues of identity, who I am in Christ. Not listening to the lies of Satan, not, you know, beating me down and me trying to combat that all the time. So, for the record, I don't like this series. I don't want to do this series. But March finally came. Kind of thought I'd have my life together by the time March came. Apparently not. So this series is a struggle for me. The issues we're talking about, I mean, these are my issues. They're things that I struggle with. And so going into that, if you're bored with this series, at least know that at least, you know, I'm learning from it. So hopefully you will too. But in this series, we're going to look at several different lies that our spiritual enemy wants to use to rob us of our identity in Jesus Christ. And what is the devil's greatest weapon? Jesus tells us in John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus says, when he lies, that is the devil, when he lies, he is consistent with his character. Now help me out here. For he is a liar and the father of lies. That's what Satan is, the father of lies. Here's the key thought. This is going to be our thought throughout the entire series here. And it's this, that a lie believed as truth will affect you as if it were true. A lie that you believe as truth will affect you as if it's true, even though it may not be. If you believe it to be true, it will affect you as if it is true. Now, today I want to look at one of the most common lies that our spiritual enemy wants us to believe, and that's the lie that we have to be strong. It's the title of the message today. That we have to be the ones to hold it all together. That it's going to be up to me. One way or another, it's up to me. That I have to pull myself up by my bootstraps. That I have to work harder. That I have to do better. That I have to be able to perform at a certain level. That we have to be able to produce. That we have to be strong. And that's one of the lies that Satan wants to bring to us. Now, next week, Pastor Brian's going to be looking at an idea and examining the lie that goes like this. It's just the way I am. It's how I've always been. My finances stink. They're just always going to be. I'm never good with finances. Or, you know, I've always been addicted to this thing. Or I've always struggled with this thing. It's just who I am. It's the way things are for me. I can't do any better in this particular area. So Pastor Brian's going to talk about that next week. The week after, we're going to talk about how we're not good enough. And the final lie is that I am what I do. And so that's kind of the movements that we're going to be taking throughout this series. But today, we're going to look at the lie that I have to be strong. So Jesus gives us this answer to these lies. John 8:32. And you will know the truth, and the truth will what? The truth will set you free. The truth. The lies don't set us free. The lies that we believe is truth don't set us free. It's only the truth that will truly set us free. There are ways that we believe that we need to be strong. And I want to address a couple of them. And like I said, a lot of these are personal for me. But I trust also that you will be able to identify with some of these ways that you believe you need to be strong. Because the minute I say you don't need to be strong, that seems to fly in the face of just kind of common logic, right? I mean, you do have to be strong, right? You have to hold it together. I mean, this is something that we really champion in our culture. You know, you'd be strong, you know, suck it up, get her done. But there's a lie in there that if we're not careful, we're going to believe this strength in an incorrect way. And I think I see it rampant within our culture. I certainly see it in my own life. So here's a few of the ways that we believe that we should be strong. First one is emotional strength, that we have to be emotionally strong all the time. Believing that you need to be emotionally strong usually comes from your need to help those around you perceive strength. that you're strong emotionally, or maybe that you perceive others around you are not emotionally strong, and so you have to be strong for them. Okay? This is a lie. Sometimes with your friends, you're like, I have to be strong for them. They're weak, so it's up to me. My strength can help strengthen some other person. Okay, that's an incorrect use of that, and that is a lie. That is not what our role is. Sometimes children believe that they need to be strong for the sake of their parents. I have sat with too many children and listened to too many children say that they need to be strong, and that if they are strong, it will help their parents' marriage. It'll help their parents stay together if they take the responsibility for creating harmony in the home or creating less tension, whatever it may be. This is a terrible position to put children in, but children will assume that role, that they have to be strong for the parents. And parents, we do the same thing with our kids, right? You may not have the best relationship with your spouse, but instead of addressing that and saying we need to strengthen our relationship together, you stick together for what reason? For the kids. We have to be strong. We have to endure this unhealth that we have for the sake of the children. In other words, we have to do this for them. And I know there's like parts that you would say, well, no, that seems like, you know, that's correct in some ways. But in the big picture of how we understand this, this is an unhealthy way for us to do life. And it's certainly not the way that God has designed for us to do this. Even within our own selves, sometimes we, deep down, have emotional issues. Maybe we're afraid. Maybe we feel vulnerable in some way. But we don't want anyone to know. Because if someone knows that we're vulnerable, then we will not look strong. And we will not be able to show this facade of strength for them or for others that we feel we need to be strong for. So emotional strength is one of those lies. Another one is provisional strength. To be provisionally strong is your providing peace, the things that you do to provide. I mean, most of you can relate to this, right? Someone's got to run the household. Someone's got to be strong enough to get things done around here. You know, someone's got to keep everything in order, whatever it is. I mean, if I don't do it, it's not going to get done. You know, you've got to keep food on the table. You got to keep going to work. You got to bring that paycheck home. Someone's got to keep those little babies' butts clean, right? Somebody's got to do it. Someone's got to take out the trash. Someone's got to empty the dishwasher. Someone's got to wash the dishes. Someone's got to pick up that towel. Someone's got to do it. And it's you. You're the one. You got to always be the one to get it done, no matter what it is. You're the one that's got to make sure laundry's getting done, that it's getting folded. You're the one that says, you know what, if it wasn't for me, the lost socks would remain lost forever. Our lost sock bin would overtake the house because you're the only one that's going to ever match them up. Someone's got to balance that checkbook. You know, someone's got to do this. Someone's got to get the yard done. Someone's got to get the car fixed. Some of that provisional stuff is financial for us. You know, man, we're struggling financially. I got to be provisionally strong. I've got to go now get another job or a third job. It's up to me. I have to be strong, set aside health, set aside needs, and I am responsible for this, so I have to be strong enough to do this. You know, I should be better at budgeting. How are we going to do things with all these kids and the activities that we want to allow them to do? Every week they come home from school with another opportunity or another activity that's just another check that we have to write. And what about braces? You know, are my kids' teeth crooked enough that they need braces or do they not? Boy, everybody seems to be getting braces. My kid says everybody has braces. They need braces. Automobiles. College. I have to be provisionally strong. I have to be able to provide all of this stuff, no matter what it requires from me. Another category, aside from emotional, aside from provisional, would be spiritual strength. Right? Well, good golly, Pastor Doug. I mean, if there's someplace you have to be strong, right? This is going to be it. How could this be a negative thing? Maybe you're one of the few Christ followers in your family, and you feel like you have to be spiritually strong as an example or for the sake of everyone else. In fact, you might even be at the point knowing that if it was not up for you, if it was not up to you, if you weren't doing it, your family wouldn't have even made it to church today. It's all on you. You wear the weight for the spiritual health of your entire family. or just for the person sitting next to you right now. Because if you let go, if you release, they would be spiritually desolate. You know, maybe you have a lot of people in your life that you're trying to be a witness to. You feel like, I have to be spiritually strong. I can't show any weakness. Someone that you love passes away. You can't show weakness. You can't show hurt. You can't show pain because people are watching. You have to be spiritually strong. You have to show that it makes a difference to be a Christian and that your life is different because you're a Christ follower. And you can't experience some of these things that other people are able to experience. You know, maybe you're the only Christ follower in your work environment, in your office, or wherever it is that you work. And there are other people there that are just looking for you to fail because they know you're a Christian. They're just looking for you to fail so they can be right, that it doesn't matter if you're a Christian. You are not better because you're a Christian. Your life isn't any better. And so you have to hold it all together. And maybe you're a small group leader here at Hillcrest, or you lead a Bible study, and you just feel like, I have to be spiritually strong. I mean, what if someone asks me a question I don't have the answer to? What will I do? I don't want to look weak. I have to keep up this illusion of being spiritually strong. So emotional, provisional, spiritual. How about professional? You have to be professionally strong. I mean, some of you have jobs and you work with some psycho people, right? I mean, you work with, it's not you, they're the nuts. It's not you, right? That's right. I mean, you got to endure this thing, right? You just got to get through it. You gotta be strong. You have to endure this job, even though you hate it. You just have to go through. You just have to, every day, you just have to grind it out. And others of you would say, oh no, Pastor Doug, my pressure is very different. I feel this huge weight on my shoulders. And if I don't get it done at my job, no one is going to get it done, and it's going to affect everybody. If I can't perform my job, everything in my organization, the institution, my business falls apart. It is all on my shoulders. I carry the weight of the whole thing. There is a lot riding on my performance. I have to be professionally strong. Do you relate with any of these? Honestly, wrongly, I feel many of these. If I was going to say which of these is the worst for me, it's probably the last two. I mean, what would happen if I showed you spiritual weakness? I mean, folks, this is my job, right? This is how I put food on the table. I can't stumble in front of you. I can't show weakness. I can't put myself in any kind of light where you would say, oh, maybe he's not qualified today. I just got to mask that, right? Just suck it up. Get her done. Professionally, I think kind of falls into the same thing for me sometimes. I mean, there's times I feel like the way that I handle myself or the way that I conduct myself here at Hillcrest has such a huge part to do with the health of Hillcrest. I mean, what if I was just an angry, fly-off-the-handle kind of a guy? I'm so focused on this that, like, for me, I'll say it. So this morning, I went into my office and I changed my message because I had an illustration in there that I thought was a great illustration, but this morning, I wrecked the truth of that illustration. And I won't go into those details. But I'm not always who I want to be. I don't always do things the way that I want to do them. And I just feel like there's so much riding on that at times. You know, what if I tell a joke, you don't like it, and you don't come back? I've told plenty of bad jokes, and you keep coming back. You guys really have no sense of humor, I guess. And I know you have this in your world too, right? I mean, we all have this in one degree or another. And we find ourselves in unhealthy places because we feel this pressure that I have to be strong, and I want you to know it's a lie. Satan wants you to believe the lie that you have to be strong. But Jesus, though, wants to reveal the truth. And when you experience the truth, he says the truth will set you what?
free.
So if you're following along, page 6 in the program that you received, your first fill-in for this morning is your strength is limited. Yeah, no duh. Eventually, you run out of strength. I mean, eventually, you are just unable. Doctors' offices are filled with people looking for prescriptions because they've run out of strength. I cannot deal anymore. I'm now depressed. Everything, my life is falling apart because I just can't keep up the rat race. I can't keep the pace going. And many of you, if you were honest with me this morning, you would say, yeah, that's where I'm at, Pastor Doug. I am at the end of my rope. I can't handle anymore. I have too much going on. I don't know how I'm going to get it all done. My to-do list is longer than the hours of the day to get it done. And for you this morning, maybe even your fuse is really short. You know, you find yourself going off the deep end with those that love you the most because they're the safest ones for you to bark at and chirp at and unload and kind of release the pressure valve on. And you feel the pressure, and then you feel the guilt when you let it off. And you think, if only I worked harder, if only I was better at what I did, if only I could handle more than what I'm currently doing, if I could just somehow learn to just pull myself up by the bootstraps and carry a heavier load. I want to be a better spouse. I want to be a better provider, and on and on and on. If I could just be a better Christian, if I was just closer with Christ, it would change my attitude and I'd be better at work and better in all these places. But there's just so much going on. There's so much happening in my world. I don't have the ability to get it all done. I just can't do it. And I would say to you and to myself, bingo, you can't. Because you weren't created to carry it all. You were not created to be strong on your own. So here's kind of the flip side to your strength is limited. I'd add a word in here. It's your next fill-in. I believe that our strength is intentionally limited because it's God's strength that's unlimited. You see, this is why God doesn't want us to depend on our own abilities, but to be empowered by his unlimited spiritual power. That's what his desire is, that we would tap into that unlimited spiritual power. And many of us are doing life out of our own inner strength. We're just sucking it up, and we're frustrated, or we're worn out, and we just can't get it all done. Every day is an illustration of that truth for us. There is limited human strength. You are not superhuman. And you keep thinking you're going to get it all done. And have you ever? And no one around you has either. It's so bad that we have started to create or to say that this busyness is a good thing. That the frazzledness that we run at is a good thing. We do that just so that we can like live with ourselves and each other. If we meet each other and we say, how are you today? How do people respond?
My life is a wreck. Good for you.
Awesome.
I have no time for myself. That's so good. I don't take care of myself anymore. Oh, good for you.
That's how we treat each other.
I'm burnt out. Oh, man, that's such a good way to be.
How are you? I had a lot of free time this week.
You're a waste of flesh.
I feel no stress.
Well, I hate you.
Right? Can we say those things to each other? You would never dare when someone comes up to you and says, how are you today?
Like all the time in the world.
No, we want to hear how miserable your life is. We want to tell you how miserable our life is. And we're going to say, yeah, we're miserable. Isn't it good? And that's how we live.
There is limited human strength, but there is unlimited strength from God. I want to look at a scripture in the Old Testament from the prophet Isaiah. Chapter 40, starting at verse 30, it says, even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion.
But those who trust the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Now, to not go too deep into a Hebrew lesson here, but the Hebrew word for youth is the word that defined Olympic athletes, young Olympic athletes. So this is saying, and you can even kind of hear it in the sentence, right? They're going to be weak and tired. Young men will fall in exhaustion. So this is basically saying, I mean, we just had the Olympics, right? So take the best of the best physical performers, even they will find exhaustion. Even they can't go forever. I mean, some of them, they run so hard, and you watch them cross the finish line, you're like, dang, they were so fast, or they skied so incredibly this or that. Do you know that if you made that race like 10% longer, they couldn't even complete it? Like their body would like just shut off? They would just like fall into a pile on the floor? And they give all they can for just the distance that they have to go, but even they will get exhausted. Even they can't just keep going and going and going. They have to rest. They have to recoup. So in Isaiah here, it says even the youth will become weak and tired. But it says that we will soar like eagles. Those who trust in the Lord will find new strength, not from yourself, not your own physical ability, but when we trust in the Lord, we will find new strength and soar on wings like eagles. Have you ever seen an eagle soar? Doesn't it seem just so majestically awesome and effortless as they just soar? And I mean, they are king of the air, right? Now compare that with my life. If you're going to compare me to a bird, I'm a hummingbird. Okay? In 1 minute, how many times does a soaring eagle flap? Maybe none. How many times does a hummingbird flap in 1 second? 10 to 15 times per second. And they go literally nowhere. Okay? This is how I picture my life, okay? My own strength, Pastor Doug, hummingbird. And you'll see me hummingbird around here all the time. Just buzzing from place to place, just wiped out and exhausted. But when we lean on God's strength, when we tap into God's strength, we can soar like eagles in this awesome, majestic, powerful position where the wind of the Spirit, right, keeps us aloft. The wind of the Spirit gives us the lift that we need that allows us to not beat our wings 15 times every second, but can just stretch them out and say, this is the coolest experience ever. And I need this in my life, and I trust you do too. Because we live in a culture, a hummingbird culture. So here's the truth. If you're taking notes, it's your last fill in here. So instead of strong, you have to be weak, broken, vulnerable, and dependent. Oh, aren't those good words? don't those feel great? But you see, when we're this, then that's where the strength of the Lord can come in, when we realize this is where we're at. Then it is in that place that the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit can give us this lift. Now, how does it happen? I hate it when someone tells me, like, just trust in God or just tap into the Spirit of the Lord. Like, okay, how? It just isn't rocket science. It's prayer. There's a lot of other things I could add to it. I'm just saying, just simply, it's prayer. It's turning to God that starts your day and ends your day. I mean, scriptures say pray without ceasing. It's all the time trusting in God for what it is. You got a tough meeting you're going into? You pray before you go in. And you ask that God would refresh you, that God would give you wisdom, that God would help you keep your cool, that God would help you be mature in this encounter. Your kid, you open up your kid's report card. Your kid could even be sitting right in front of you. And the report card is not one that we're going to bake a cake over. Okay? What do you do in that moment? Do you just unload on this kid? Do you bring up every time they didn't do their homework, every time they didn't this, that, that? No. You pray. And then you unload on your kid. But with the power of the Spirit, right? Guiding and directing you. It's turning your thoughts to God first so that God can then direct where you're going with things. It's thinking about the things of God first, and then it's getting into the things of our day. I mean, how many spiritual giants in our world that have written books or have taught on what it means to be a follower of Christ says the first thing you do every single day is commit it over to God, right? I'm too busy to pray. But the phrase, when you understand it, is I'm too busy what? Not to pray. I know it's just not the answer you want, because you just want it to be something different than that, but it's really not more complicated than that. And I find that when I'm hummingbirding around, it's because I haven't committed those things to prayer. I forget. Yes, I forget. Happens to all of us. So you have to be weak, broken, vulnerable, dependent. Apostle Paul, he knew this. He certainly learned this. We see it in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And let me give you the context of it before I show you this verse. Paul had something that was bothering him, that was troubling him. He called it a thorn in his side. And so he had this pain, this difficulty, this trouble, okay? Your thorn in the side might have someone's name to it. That's your thorn in the side, okay? It could be a real physical thing. We really don't know, Paul, what this thing was. But he prayed to God, and he asked God to remove it. Now, Paul is a man of prayer, and if God would remove it from anyone, he should have removed it from Paul, and he didn't. So you know what Paul did? He prayed again. He said, God, remove this thorn in my side. And you know what God said the second time? He didn't remove it. So Paul prayed again. Remove this thorn from my side. And then Paul tells us what God said. Each time, Paul said, each time that I asked, this is what he said. My grace is all you need. And my power works best in weakness. God's power works best when you're weak. When you're strong, do you need God? I don't need God at all. I got it handled. When you're weak and you're unable, that's where God's power works the best, because it can be seen in our weakness. And so in our weakness is where we see God's strength in our lives. So he says, that's why Paul's teaching us here. That's why I take pleasure in my weakness and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And when he's weak, he's strong because of what? It says at the beginning there, because Christ's power is evident when you're weak. Paul takes pleasure in his weakness because it makes him strong in Christ. A few months ago, I went to Pastor Brian. We were meeting. And I told him, I said, I'm struggling in some areas. I feel like I'm drowning in some areas. I'm not doing well in certain areas. And kind of asked for his help to kind of look at my schedule, my life, my agenda. Because I knew I just wasn't doing what I needed to be doing for me. And ministry was consuming a lot of my physical time. And it was also consuming a lot of my spiritual energies. Certainly, whether it was mentoring or counseling appointments or meetings, pastoral care, writing messages, leading teams, working with the staff, planning omelet Sundays, you name it. Trips to Ethiopia. I mean, the list could go on and on. And then outside the church, I was trying to build relationships with other pastors, serving on various boards, things like Empower Sioux Falls, trying to serve our city as a chaplain, as a police chaplain. I even try to perform funerals for the funeral homes for people that don't have a church home. All these various things. And then, of course, there's my personal life. I have one of those, too. And I try to be a good dad to my high school son that's at home. Try to be a good dad to my two teenage kids, well, not teenage anymore, that are no longer living in my home. Try to be a son to my parents who, as they get older, need me more, and I want to be there for them. And then there's those that I would call my friends who have chosen to be my friends, even though I'm about the most sporadic and
inconsistent friend a guy could have. And there's my most important earthly relationship, which is to be a husband to an amazing woman. As she carries the weight of the world on her shoulders, as she works full-time, goes to school full-time for nursing. Between trying to find matching socks as I do the laundry, and yes, I am very proficient at buying feminine hygiene products in Hy-Vee, I find I can't always hold it all together. But in my weakness, he is strong. And I need to turn all of these things over to God and pray about all of them. Because it's in his strength that I am able. Because a lie that you believe is truth will affect you as if it were true. And the truth is, I don't have to be strong for you or for anyone else. I have to be a child of God first and let God do what he wants to do in and through me with that. I don't think I'm alone here today, because I don't have the strength to pull off what I need to pull off. I don't think you do either, because you don't have the strength for your schedule, for the list that you have to do. And some of you here are trying to hold your marriage together, and it's God that wants to hold your marriage together. And you can't do it. God has got to do it for you. You're trying to get your kids back doing the right thing. You won't be able to get them back doing the right thing. It's their relationship with God. You turn it over to God. You're in a financial hole. You're not going to be able to work enough to get out of that financial hole. God is going to have to help you get out of that hole. You turn it over to him. You were not created to do it on your own. Prayer is the key. Prayer. I have to be weak, and so do you. And Jesus said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. And your spiritual enemy today would love you to believe, every one of you, he would love you to believe that you can be stronger. You can do it. You can suck it up. Because he knows if he does that, he will keep you in the worst position ever. Because you'll never identify your weakness. If you never identify your weakness, you'll never be able to tap into the strength that God has and soar on wings like eagles. Are you tired of being a hummingbird? It's time to upgrade. I can't do it. You can't do it. I have to be weak, and so do you. And apart from Christ, you can do nothing. For it's not by might, and it's not by our power. It's not by our efforts, but it's through the power of the Holy Spirit.